Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher and I'm joined in the studio today with pastor and educator Gary Cox. And Gary, it's great to be with you today.
Yes, amen. Great to be with you and looking forward.
So Gary, we have a lot going on, not just at Wellspring Christian Family Schools, but also the landscape for education has really kind of exploded, you could say, really since COVID. And we thought that as we are observing all these changes... Uh-oh. Shall we start over again?
No, I can edit that.
Okay. All right. Are you good?
I'm just going to turn it off.
Okay. So we thought as we are looking at the development of educational alternatives and as a lot of parents are kind of reacting to what they've seen or discovered in especially the public school system, we're seeing the need for the church, for Christians, for Christian parents to kind of continue to step into that growing gap of education. And our focus over kind of the next couple conversations is going to be on what we've sort of categorized as the four staples of Christian education. And really, these are topics that we have discussed here and there, but we've kind of distilled them into these four different areas, and we're gonna spend some time talking about those. So just right off the bat here, the one ingredient or staple that we've identified over the years that's important for effective Christian home education is accountability. And as soon as I say that word, lots of our listeners have all kinds of ideas, I'm sure, in their head about what that means, and maybe the hair is standing up on, you know, their spines. And someone might be saying, wow, accountability is good for government, and it's good for, you know, Bible study groups, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But why do we need accountability? Why do parents and families need anybody telling them how to educate their children? And what do you think of, or what do you mean when you're talking about this idea of accountability?
Well, it's interesting. I realize that people can think of something on a wide spectrum, so maybe a quick definition is accountability is having a plan and then verifying that you're working your plan. And in that sense of accountability, my basic little go-to adage to parents is, if you don't inspect what you expect, then you're not going to get any results that you expected. You need to have follow-up, and it's so powerful, it's helpful, it's a positive building kind of a thing in terms of relationship and success.
Why do you think people tend to react so negatively to when you start talking about accountability?
Well, I think the big picture is people often negatively respond to accountability from the standpoint that somebody that doesn't have any say is trying to tell me what to do. And, you know, that goes all the way down to young people, you know, not wanting to answer their parents the question, son, what were you doing last night? I heard all this noise. It can be something that simple. So often accountability is associated with somebody getting checked up on it in a negative way. But the big picture of accountability is a mechanism to validate, verify, and progress. And I always like to put it in this kind of short term. Well, when you get to heaven, Bible says that God's going to bring out the books. And if God's keeping track of what's going on, might be helpful for you to give some considered thought to, yeah, what am I doing anyway, and why am I doing it?
I love the fact that in virtually every other area as Christians, we understand the necessity for accountability, whether it's a husband and a wife in a marriage, whether it's parents and children. When we talk about a church community, which we're going to talk about that in a little different segment, but the idea of spiritual authorities in our lives that help us to continue to grow. And then, of course, we all know about this when it comes to the government sector or the civic area. We love the idea of accountability for government, which is very true. And we also understand accountability that the government brings. But just kind of one final idea on this general concept of accountability. How does biblical accountability differ from more what people envision, you know, big brother looking after you kind of thing? What's the big difference?
Well, the big difference is if I have a set of values that I'm really pushing towards, I'm trying to get to, then there's these things called goals of achievement that I'm after. And so when I establish these goals and I establish these values, then there needs to be a point of measuring. You know, you might illustrate it in such a simple term as a bank account. You want to go on a vacation and it's going to cost you X number of dollars to go on vacation. So the whole family joins in together and we're going to be saving our money. And so we have a weekly or a monthly meeting and we're doing different kind of projects and things to earn that money. And so the accountability is, okay, well, how are we doing? Oh my, we're behind our goal. You know, at this rate, we're not going to make it. I wonder what we can do to fix that. And so accountability really is giving you that opportunity to say, I really value this. Since I value it, what am I going to do to gain that value? And that really is how accountability works. So when you're dealing with accountability in education, children want to have the success of the targeted goals. And so accountability is as simple as, well, I want to learn how to read. Okay, well, what does it look like how to read? Well, what are the steps to getting there? And how are we doing? And when you have a positive attitude towards the goals that you're interested in, then accountability becomes kind of a fun, treasured type of activity where we want to show, we want to demonstrate. And bringing that accountability in makes it have real-time value.
I think one of the words that we enjoy using at Wellspring is the idea of motivation. Mm-hmm. How are we building motivation, especially for students? We like to describe that accountability as life-giving accountability, and we find that life-giving, that brings inspiration, that helps stimulate creativity, all those different things, helps bring life-changing motivation to students because, you know, and like you were just saying, that the simple reality of even something fun like a vacation requires a plan and whether or not you're staying track on that plan. One thing that I know we wanted to kind of tie in here is that, again, our staples here are based in these biblical concepts and also the revelation of who God is through different attributes. And we frequently talk about the fact that God is the creator. And as the creator, he has a design, hence why this radio program is Family by Design. And if he is the creator and the designer, therefore there are expectations for how things are supposed to function and work. And that brings that accountability to
right.
our lives.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, there is a root element of accountability that who says so, you know, the best answer is, well, God says so. And so that understanding of, well, what is God expecting and what does that look like? And when you look at the creator and the creation and how it works, some of the most simple realities of accountability are, well, if you don't plant your seed in the springtime, then when it comes to be harvest time, you're not going to be able to reap a crop. And if you don't reap a crop and properly store it away, the accountability comes in. You're not going to have enough food. And so the sense of accountability is measured progress towards a targeted goal. And keeping track of what it is. So accountability very often involves primarily objectives, a schedule, a plan of how you're going to allocate resources, whether it be time or whatever, to that project. And then it has this legitimacy. Probably the foundational accountability of humanity is eating. If yes. we don't eat, we're going to die. And, you know, the Bible says real simple, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. And there's some logical practice to that, but there's also some accountability. The larger group is to say, well, now everybody is going to be able to eat who participates in producing the food. And all of a sudden you can remember little stories of the little red hen and how accountability was taught through the process of, okay, you do the work, you plant, you reap, and then you have something to eat.
Yeah, I love that. And we see those in the Proverbs, especially the lazy man who's held to account for not working, thus he's not eating. So let's try to plug this into, you know, to especially the home school, home education world, which is, you know, by and large where we're at. What does accountability then look like for homeschooling parents, you know, developing this program? And because it's interesting in the homeschool world, there's a lot of different approaches to how to do things. And some homeschoolers say, oh, well, I just like to follow what my student is interested in doing. And there's the whole unschooling philosophy mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. Where does that kind of uniqueness with the student, how does that all kind of fit into the idea still of accountability? Because I think a lot of parents look at accountability as like some sort of smothering, mm-hmm. you know, oh, you can't, you know, allow any right. kind of, so how does that all work? How do we apply accountability to the flexibility of being a homeschool family?
Well, there's certainly the capability of feeling smothered by accountability. However, the big picture is what you mentioned at the beginning. There's an aspect to which proper accountability creates motivation. What you actually have is you almost have more of a mentor kind of a relationship when you're doing accountability with education, and you have objectives that you're setting and your goals that you're trying to reach. And then you pay attention to the student, to the child's you know, basically their interest level. And there are times when students have no interest, and so they have to drudge through something that they imagine is very boring, and indeed can be in some of the, you know, basic introduction to subjects. But at the same time, accountability helps set smaller range goals that are achievable. And there's one thing about accountability and how it affects motivation. Nothing works better than achievement. You did it. Mm-hmm. You accomplished that. Wow, now you can read. And it's just an amazing thing. I mean, the nature of humanity in the family, especially relationship, children just love showing what they can do. They love that opportunity of exploring. And so the idea is letting the accomplishment have, in its own sense of the word, some kind of valued achievement.
Yeah.
You know, as you grow, you can have the achievement pushed out farther and be a different kind of achievement. But sometimes in the very beginning, you just have to have little stars on charts that show you where you are and the process and progress of what the goal is. And
I love that, because you're speaking so positively. And I think a lot of people imagine accountability is just kind of like, oh, let's check and see what you haven't been doing, and now you're going to have a consequence and whatever, as opposed to what you just said, the clear incentive of, oh, wow, we're meeting objectives, we're meeting goals, and maintaining, you know, momentum as right. students are going through.
So the mentor is the one that's holding someone accountable. They get that positive effect when they can cast a vision of the value and the benefit of what this is. And so the enthusiasm is built. And sometimes you can do that through some really fun negative reversals, which I loved the story of Frederick Douglass, how he learned how to read. And he did it with negative psychology because he wanted to read, and the culture around him was, you're not allowed to learn how to read.
Right.
Well, that's a pretty strong motivator. What? I can't learn how to read. So he created divisive ways. Created ways of getting people to teach him just because he wanted to learn how to read. And it's that enthusiasm. So I think you get the mentor casting the vision for the benefit, and then you get that sense of accomplishment, even if it's just a, you did so good, you, let's show daddy, let's, you know, show grandpa, whatever. And it gets that kind of enthusiasm.
That is really cool. If you're just joining in, we're talking with pastor and educator Gary Cox. We're examining the four staples of Christian education, and today's discussion is about accountability. And as we're coming into the last part of our discussion today, Gary, can you talk a little bit about just some of the things that you've observed over the many years that you've worked with homeschool families? Where are we most likely to kind of miss this component, and how can parents kind of, what are kind of the low hanging fruit,
right,
where they can take this idea of accountability and more practically apply it to their homeschool program?
So I think the most important part is the time space between the assignment, project, whatever, when it's due, and the steps of that process, having a checkup. Okay, how are you? Where are you? Because what happens in true accountability, then, oh, you're struggling. Well, why are you struggling? You get to evaluate the big picture, and you understand, okay, so it looks like you're having difficulty with this assignment because of ABC or DEF or XYZ. There's a reason. And so in that evaluation, then you can come up with a kind of solution. And there's positive reinforcement and there's negative reinforcement. Sometimes negative reinforcement works best. Well, I know you want to go hunting and we've got to get up tomorrow morning at 4:30 to go out there, but you don't have your schoolwork done. So if you don't have your schoolwork done by tomorrow, I mean, by tonight, or, you know, whatever the timeline is, I'm not going to be able to take you hunting. No, don't you want to go hunting? And so it's those kind of understanding, because it's priorities. What's the most important thing? Accountability sort of helps you bring that into that place. Probably the best illustration of accountability in terms of values that I can remember is Martha and Mary having Jesus over for supper or for dinner, a large crowd there, and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet learning because she just wants to hear every word that he has to say. And Martha is wanting to put on a really nice dinner for Jesus. And everybody can understand, if Jesus was coming over for dinner, you're going to want to have a really nice dinner. So in the process of that, Mary's sitting down and Martha's doing all the work, and she just finally gets kind of exasperated and said, Jesus, she interrupts the teaching. Can you tell Martha tell Mary to help me with this food service? Because I'm doing it all by myself. And Jesus brought accountability with the balance of what's the real priority. And basically Jesus said, you know, I'd rather have a peanut butter sandwich than have you sitting here also than worrying about all this food. But he said, you know, Mary's chosen the good part. And because she chose the good part, that's not going to be taken away from her. And so that sense of priority, and sometimes that's a motivational thing. You know, it's not that big of a deal for me to have a really fancy dinner for Jesus. And so that's the nature. There's the mentoring process. I'll say this as a pastor. I've had more opportunity to mentor individuals through the accountability process. We're setting goals, reaching them, missing them, needing to make adjustments, whatever. But that mentor relationship builds. And if you do it in a positive way, it just, you know, there's this little thing. I want to please my mentor. I want to show them that I did good, and you make the little corrections. And so that's how the process is.
I love that you used the Mary and Martha story, because you just flipped the script for probably about 70% of the people listening, saying, oh, yeah, That's right. These people who've got all these grandiose ideas, and they're not following the traditional, schedule and text, and all the Marthas in the room were just saying, yeah, accountability. That's what we need. We need accountability for all those Martha or those Marys out there who aren't doing their school. You just flipped the script on it and said, well, wait a minute. It's about what are the priorities?
Right.
And going back to that big picture that we just said, God's the creator. The reason for accountability is kind of a wake-up call to say, well, wait a minute. What is your priority? Yeah. And why aren't those priorities really priorities
anymore? Yeah, and the big picture, I mean, great card day for permanent is when we die. Appointed unto man wants to die, and after there's a judgment. And in that process, there's an accountability, like, what did you do with the life I gave you? How did you spend it? What did you spend it on? Accountability is a real part of that spiritual reality that I have to check to see my priorities are right. And if you can imagine, spiritual priorities are rife to the surface as first. Don't imagine it'll ignore the natural priorities, because God designed life to have all these natural priorities woven in to the big picture reality. So, one little picture of priorities is take care of the big items first. And then there'll be room for the little items to be fit in. And that kind of builds momentum in terms of just what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, how I'm doing it. Can I give one little tiny illustration?
Yes, please.
Trying to teach one of my children to stick to their math. They were sitting there just looking at the book, not knowing what to do, and time passing, enormous amounts of time. And it was like, I can't get this assignment done in a whole day. So I stopped and said, well, wait a minute. Now, it was a young child, at the entry level of academics, to be sure. I said, okay, well, I tell you what. I bet they really are really hard problems. Why don't we try this? Let's just do one problem. And how long do you think one problem would take you to do? And so we gave an estimate and said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to double the time. I'm going to set the egg timer for twice as much time as you suggested. And then I'm going to say go, and you're going to work the problem. Well, what was an amazing thing, the original thought was it's going to take me 20 minutes to do a problem. By the end of just one little session of little tiny victories, my child was so astonished to realize, I did the whole entire lesson in 25 minutes. And before, I was sitting there for 25 minutes and didn't get anything done. So it's just learning how to break achievable goals with the kind of necessary reward of accomplishment, so that we went from timing one problem to timing two problems to timing five problems. And okay, let's set the goal here. It looks like you can do all the problems in 50 minutes. That's twice as much as we guessed, and got them done in 25 minutes.
I love that, because this is what I spend time with the students as well, especially when I'm working with high school students, because mm-hmm. at that point they're taking on more independent work and they need to work on having those achievable goals so that they can make that progress. So, well, this has been a really good conversation. We've got about a minute left. What is the most practical tool that you most like to put in parents' hands to help them achieve this ingredient of accountability?
Well, setting down a realistic plan that includes time and space and accomplishment, and then having a close enough evaluation so the child can be kept on track. So doing this work, it's getting inspected, and that short amount of accountability. And one of those things that relates to probably the number one need for homeschoolers in the historical sense of my experience the last 42 years, their number one need is a clear fixed deadline that's not going to move with some random little activity. Oh no, there goes the cat, or fixed deadlines that don't move. That's so helpful in that process of achievement.
And that is, accountability, again, a reflection of the creator,
right,
of who he is. Well, this has been a great conversation, Gary, and we're going to come back next time and continue our discussion on the Christian staples. I'm sorry, not the Christian staples, the staples of Christian home education. We've been talking about accountability today, and are going to cover some more next time. If you didn't get to hear this whole broadcast, you can go back and listen to it at two different places. First of all, you can visit wcfs.edu/radio and find our Family by Design radio archive and listen to the content there. We also can be found at the wthuradio.com website and look for their audio vault. That's our flagship station. You can find this message or any of our previous messages. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions or comments, you can reach out to Wellspring Christian Family Schools. Just go to our website, wcfs.edu. Until next time, I'm Joel Fisher. So glad that you could join us today and welcome you back next time right here on Family by Design, where we help you treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Give your children houses, and you can give them lands, and the riches of your efforts, and all your best laid plans.
But of all that they inherit, of all that you could will, please include the unseen treasure of a life that God has filled. 'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Someday the house will crumble. Time will turn the land to dust. And when all accounts are empty, where will you invest their trust?
But if the riches that you give them is the wisdom of his ways, then the wealth you'll leave your children will last through all their days. 'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
'tis a life lived for Jesus.